What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world famous Comedy Store here for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Eddie Torres, and across the way, we have the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel. How are you, brother?
I'm happy that the band is back together.
The band is back together. John is here. It's been gone for a couple weeks. I don't know if you guys have noticed.
We're back, baby.
We're back.
Like I was on assignment.
On assignment.
It's like Charlie from Charlie's Angels being here. Like,
yeah, buddy. A lot of stuff going on this past week. We just had, last night, a marathon of a pay-per-view with Forbidden Door. I was very excited about it. Earl, I'm sure, was very excited about it. John, not so much.
No, you know what it made me appreciate? It made me appreciate the storytelling thing that AEW is always missing. Mm. Like the actual... Didn't you say, is this factual, that there were only like actually four matches booked as of like Thursday?
Yep.
Or Wednesday?
Yeah, when we did our preview, there was only really four matches confirmed.
Yeah, so I mean, you'll see good wrestling. That was never in question, but there's nothing that you're really, nothing that you can't listen to as background noise while you're doing other things, because I don't know. I just like a story. I like there to be a long build-up or at least a month of build-up before you sit and watch guys fight for 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, they depend heavily on the fact that the people that are excited about the show are nerds and marks like myself that have been following. Like, for example, the Okada, Bryan Danielson thing, while there was no build-up, there was no real story to it, it's just something that I've been waiting for fucking ever, you know, 15 years. So that's the story. It's the dream match. And Will Ospreay and Kenny had the story, so that was a good one. But yeah, it's mostly just following these careers over the years and then wanting to see certain matchups. And even though there was a bunch of talent on the card, there was still a bunch of people missing that I wanted to see on the card, you know, like Miro.
Archer.
House of Black was missing. You know, Andrade I get because New Japan doesn't want to work with him because of his connection to other, I think, either CMLL or AAA. I don't know the drama there, but... Yeah, it was just kind of weird to see that there's still Samoa Joe wasn't there.
Hobbs.
There's so many other people that I would have, not that I would have preferred to see, but that I would like to see. So maybe, you know, New Japan confirmed that there is going to be a Forbidden Door 3. So maybe for next year, in a few months, 6 months, who knows?
But what you can tell is that AEW's really betting on the WWE. Former WWE guys.
Yeah.
Like that, they're going to include all of those guys. They'll obviously include the Bucks and Kenny Omega, but they're really banking on the old WWE guys because with WWE, that Forbidden Door is still there.
Yep, that is true. Hopefully that'll change. I think that'll change once Vince passes. If Vince goes away permanently, like to the other side, we might have a Triple H saying, okay, fine, let's do it, you know? But we'll see. We'll get right into it. My first thing I put on my notes is Red Shoes. Red Shoes was refereeing one of the matches and got a pop from the crowd. The crowd was chanting Red Shoes. Really happy to see him there and glad that he got his flowers in Toronto. It seemed like Toronto was a big New Japan crowd.
Hot crowd. Yeah. That crowd was very, very good.
I feel like they don't get much New Japan out there. So this might be one of the first times New Japan's been out there in many, many years. I don't know.
Even the Japanese announcer got a big pop.
Oh, like, yeah.
That crowd was a mark crowd, I think.
Heavy mark crowd. We had Sanada defend his belt against Jungle Boy, which that was like the weakest match on the card, I would say. People weren't really into it. The outcome was obvious. You know, we knew Sanada wasn't going to... We knew Jungle Boy wasn't going to be the new IWGP heavyweight champion of the world. It was just a little predictable there. But the story was that Jungle Boy turned on Hook. So now we got heel Jungle Boy. Is he going to drop the Jungle Boy name? Because a heel Jungle Boy makes no sense.
I mean, I would have liked to have seen him win, and then you can kind of get rid of one guy on TV, open up a spot, let him go to Japan, you know, get his heel persona, you know, over there. And, you know, they can afford to lose Jungle Boy.
Like, sure.
So,
sure.
But I like the heel turn. I didn't see it coming. I don't really care about it that much, but like, you know, because he was kind of a baby face with the four pillars, you know, and so, I mean, it was all right.
Yeah, there was I kind of saw it coming only like last Wednesday on the Dynamite before where he got booed because he was in a match against another New Japan star, yeah. Doki, I think it was. And everybody loved him and started booing Jungle Boy. And I think that was kind of like the final, like, okay, fine, let's turn him.
It's almost like they did that on purpose because they kind of made Doki, he kept coming back, and like he definitely was, you know, the face of the match for sure. So I don't know if they did it on purpose and then, hey, we'll turn you heel next week. But it was well done. It probably was an accident the way it all. Maybe they didn't anticipate Doki going over.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, you know.
We'll see. Other matches that had obvious winners, MJF versus Tanahashi. I mean, Tanahashi was not going to become AEW champion. He can barely move. The dude was pretty stiff. I'm a big fan of Ace, but I think it's time for him to start thinking about retiring and going on that final run because he was looking stiff. He botched a couple spots. He almost fell off the top rope, and you know, it's you can tell he's old.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, I think the Asian Sting, like, okay. Yeah, maybe not quite that old, but like,
I mean, shit, Sting was moving better than he was. It's kind of crazy.
Well, it's fun. We'll get into that when we get to that match, but I don't know. This match didn't really do much for me. I don't think it was definitely not a good match to lead off the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, it did nothing for MJF. I mean, maybe as a personal achievement for him at home, he can say, hey, I knocked off the Ace or whatever, but story-wise or character progression-wise, it did nothing.
It really just looks bad if MJF isn't on the card.
Yeah, well, he wasn't there last time.
But see, I would have liked...
Well, like, he wasn't the champion.
That's true.
But like we said last week, I thought it would have been better if he didn't show up.
Yeah,
he
no shows.
And then...
That's really fun. That's genius. That's how he should have been booked for this.
Can you imagine the heat that he would have gotten today? It would have been much more trending on Twitter. You know, MJF no-show.
Yeah, have the whole intro with Tanahashi and then just cut to the screen and it's him like on a plane like, no, I said no. I said I'm not doing it. And that's it.
You could have Tanahashi. Well, he speaks very broken English, but maybe, I don't know how they would have worked it, but anyone else want to come out? And then, you know, you could, because there were no surprises. Like,
yeah.
I thought, well, maybe Goldberg comes in, like, just to get that extra pop, but it was a pretty lackluster card outside of the two matches I think we'll all agree on.
Yeah. Yeah. The other predictable outcome, Toni Storm winning over Willow Nightingale. I mean, like that match, unfortunately, because Toni Storm is great and so is Willow, but it was the pee break pretty much. You know, yeah. It was just kind of like, whatever. I know who's winning. They're not going to give Willow two belts. She wasn't even supposed to get that one belt that we saw her win because Mercedes got injured. So. You can tell that the plan was Mercedes, and they just had to kind of like piece it together. You know, it happens. The 10-man was pretty fun.
Yeah,
it was
fun.
I want a full-fledged Mox versus Eddie Kingston feud for the next couple of weeks. That'd be nice.
It's going to be so boring.
I don't know, dude.
Both of them just yelling nonsense at each other. It's going to be so boring.
I love Eddie Kingston. I love the chop fest that we got. There was a moment in the match that I popped, which was Kingston and Mox just chopping the shit out of each other in the middle, and then everybody else doing crazy high-flying moves around them at the same time. I was like, this is cool. It's like it was both styles, I think, that AEW does well, the strong Japanese style and then the crazy high-flying at the same time. I thought it was fun. Good match. Fun match. That other multiple man tag, the one with Sting and Darby and
humor match.
Naito. It was a humor match. You know, we had Suzuki doing poses with Jericho.
That's funny to me.
I thought that was fun. Fucking that Sammy Guevara 620 flip onto Sting through a table. I think Sting was supposed to move and didn't move in time. I don't think he was meant to take that bump.
See, I think he was.
You think so?
And I don't blame him. Like, he saw something mid-fly. He was like, I got to move. I think he was not either over far enough. I think he was just moving to get closer so Sammy could have the meat of his body to land on. But because that wouldn't make any sense to have Sammy do that on an empty table.
I mean, yeah, it would. The sense would be to protect a 63-year-old man from
64. I
64.
Think.
I would have advised Sting to get the fuck out of there and just let him go through a table by himself.
I mean, it seemed like I bet you they gave him the option of, hey, you can stay on, take the bump, or at last second get it. He changed his mind on something when Sammy was in the air.
Like, yeah.
You could see him kind of going, like trying to move in either another spot on the table or off the table. Like, so, you know, because didn't Sting do that, what was it, last year against the Bucks? He was supposed to go back in the ring, but he stayed outside of the ring. Like, you know, he's 64.
Sting's at falling asleep age. He might have just completely napped out.
It's probably, can you imagine being that old, though, and the adrenaline of that crowd? Like, it probably is like a mind.
I'm 37, and if I lay down, I'm falling asleep. So this is, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a good chance he laid down. He's like, I'm going to just sit this one out.
But I thought that was a good match to put in between Omega and the Okada match.
Oh, absolutely. And it was just fun to see, you know, Sting, Jericho, Suzuki, Naito all in the ring at once. It's just kind of something you never imagine. You know, it's not something that we necessarily need. Like, oh, I've been waiting for this my whole life. But it's just something you're like, oh, wow, that's a cool visual, you know?
I mean, I would have preferred Muda just because of his history with Sting.
Sure,
and
yeah.
He's just as old as Sting, I think.
Yeah, but he's retired.
But that would have been, like, I think a little more meaningful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, it was a good palate cleanser.
For sure, for sure. We also had, you know, let's just go into it, the what many are calling one of the best matches ever is Ospreay versus Omega 2. Did it deliver for you?
You know, it was a slow build. Like, I thought the first 5 minutes were, oh, they're just... It's like watching a baseball game in the first inning. Mm. It did. By the end, it was... They and I said this a lot. I don't know if they're friends, work friends. Maybe they don't like each other at all. They have such good chemistry. They sell for each other. And they play off of each other well. I mean, when Omega kicked out at one on the V-trigger...
Oh, yeah.
And the camera goes to Ospreay's face, and he's like, it's blood. I mean, I could watch him wrestle 10 times.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I was hoping Omega would win last night, and then he puts over Ospreay in London, which I still think would have been the better way. But now it's got me wondering, who do they match each other? Do they go again in London?
Yeah.
Usually after two matches, I'm like, I don't need to see them wrestle again. I could see them wrestle again.
Yeah, they got to do the tiebreaker, and there should be a stipulation. Make it 2 out of 3 falls. Make it an Iron Man match. I don't know, some kind of stipulation. Not a no, you know, false count anywhere. That's kind of lame for them. They don't need that.
When's Wembley?
I think August 27th. August.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all the news that's coming out about how CM Punk and Kenny Omega had to be on separate sides of the building, I think that's the match we're getting at Wembley.
I mean...
Possible. I don't know. Is there a pay-per-view in between now and Wembley?
I don't think there is. Hmm. Although I will say, when Callis got on the apron, I thought, this is when they bring out the Golden Lovers. And I knew you said they won't because of issues with New Japan, but yeah. I'm like, if he starts interfering, then I don't know if he has a specific music. I'm assuming he does. That crowd would have gone bonkers.
For sure. And so. I felt the Don Callis spot was a little weird. Like, they kick him out, and then he just comes back like nothing. Like,
it was weird. Like,
the
ref
didn't, like, say anything. It was just like, oh, well, I guess you're back. Like, what?
Although I will say, I thought the ending of the match was a little, like, that last power bomb. And obviously, they're so bloody and sweaty. It's not a knock on Ospreay, but he dropped him on his head. Like,
straight on his head.
And it seemed like they ended it real fast after that, because you could hear Omega say something to the ref. Mm. I don't know if there was a couple. It seemed like there were a couple more minutes that could have gone back and forth. So we know what happened in the Okada match, you know, with Danielson. So I'm curious, and we'll probably never know what was the real finish of that match. You know, I'm sure Ospreay was going to win anyway, but.
I feel like they might have just rushed the ending. I feel the ending would have been the same. I honestly do think they want Ospreay walking in champ.
In
London, you know, I feel like that's the big move. But yeah, he definitely dropped him on his head. The media scrum. They asked Tony Khan for an update on Omega's health to see and he's like, I think he's fine. So hopefully he's fine. But that looked really, really bad. I yelled, like, fuck! Like,
I
yelled really loud.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, you just saw his neck going on.
Yeah, his neck turned. Like, it was like a C at one point.
So, and then, he, you know, the ref got right over him, which is rare. They never really get right over you. And you could see him mouth something, and then I think it was one quick move, and then that was it.
So, yeah, he did his, like, hidden blade, and then the one, I forget what it's called, it's the hammer of Thor thing. I forget what it's called. Stormbreaker? Stormbreaker, yeah.
But when he did the sharpshooter, like, he's such a good heel, man. Oh, like, yeah. I hope he, like...
Oh, dude, when he wiped his ass with the Canadian flag in, like, Toronto.
And that... I think that was improv, like...
Yeah.
Because he gave... Omega gave the flag back to the two kids, so... You know, because the guy who had it was in the corner, some, you know, older fan. So, I just... They are so good together. You know,
I'm down to see them wrestle many, many times. I felt also kind of weird watching the media scrum with Ospreay, because he was so nice and so polite the whole time. It's a little out of character. You know, I would have liked him to stay in character, like, ah, fuck Canada and blah, blah, blah. But he was so happy. He's like, oh, I'm so glad to be here and blah, blah, blah. It's just, I don't know, breaking kayfabe a little bit there. But I'm stoked to see, you know, what they end up doing. I hope they do like a 2 out of 3 falls or something like that.
I mean, they're just... Their promos make sense, you know. The very few guys sell for each other. It's usually one guy sells and the other guy is, I'm going to protect my character.
Brother, you're wearing an Ospreay shirt. You're going to piss off your follower of Omega here. What's
Kenny,
going on?
Kenny, listen, you know, welcome to comedy. You know? I did my top two faves. And I know he'll watch this.
Yeah.
He watches my stories now, so we might have to blur this. Kenny, I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know.
And then the well, actually, you know, I skipped right over it. I might as well mention it, but CM Punk had a match with Kojima. It was more fun than I expected it to be, thanks to Kojima, because Kojima's great. He's hilarious. Landed an elbow drop right into CM Punk's balls. I don't know if you saw that or noticed it. You go back and watch the replay, right on the dick. And then Kojima went on Twitter and put, my elbow drop landed on his cock. Sorry, was not intentional.
Probably was. I'm sure Omega paid him. Hey, they're probably buddies. Hey, just a couple extra in a play.
Shout out to that Toronto crowd for booing the fuck out of Punk. You're my peeps. Yeah. Love you guys.
It was a very smart crowd. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I dug it. And then finally, the dream match. A lot of people were not feeling like that the match delivered. I thought it did. I thought it was a great match. The last 10 minutes were a little weird because, as we found out, Danielson broke his arm, his forearm, I believe, and he'll be out for 6 to 8 weeks. But he had to completely improv that finisher. He couldn't get the lapel lock in because his arm was broken. He ended up doing it with his feet, and I thought was pretty creative, and it looked super painful. I don't know if you like.
Oh yeah, I mean, when it happened, I was like, okay, someone's hurt here, because it was just kind of an abbreviated ending. But you know, it was a good match. I don't think it was great even before the injury. Hmm. I mean, it's kind of cool to see Okada here because he's never here, at least on TV in America. So, And that was the one danger, is which match is going to be better, because the other one's probably not going to be able to follow it. I didn't think Omega and Ospreay would be as good as it was. So, you know, it just wasn't as good as that match.
Yeah, it was a tough act to follow. I don't know if you can't put the dream match before, but you do have a championship in that Omega Ospreay. I don't know. Maybe the flow could have been different. I would have started the night with that instead of MJF and Tanahashi.
Yeah, I mean, that it was just kind of a dud opener. But, you know, then if you have Ospreay and Omega, it's tough, because if you put it up front, it's a great start.
Yeah.
But then...
Hard to follow.
No matches. And then 3 hours later, I mean, maybe it's enough time has passed where the crowd's like, please, can this... You know, there were a lot of okay matches.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the night. And, like, you know, I'm a fan of New Japan, so I'm used to, like, the more sports-oriented, less story, you know, and that's what it was. It's just a showcase of athleticism, basically, and I don't know. I'm excited for part 3 when that happens. But, yeah, that's all I have for AEW for now. Moving on to WWE, we've got Vince McMahon making last-minute changes on the television shows again, canceling full-on matches that have been advertised, like the Bayley match. They announced a Bayley versus Shotzi match, completely scrapped it. He changed, I think it was Tommaso Ciampa was supposed to wrestle Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship, and they canceled that, and they made him fight Miz for some reason. And apparently the reports are that Triple H isn't happy that this is happening. So I don't know where this is going. It doesn't sound good. I hope Triple H just strong arms himself in there and just says, you know what, fuck it. We're not going to do those changes anymore, because it is apparent when you watch the product when Vince is involved. It's kind of weird.
It doesn't make any sense. It's very haphazard. It's very, like, discombobulated. And I know it's a big word for wrestling fans, but, like, you know, you're right, though. It's so clear. I mean, he does leave his mark, for better or worse. When he does a decision, you know, oh, that's a Vince move.
Yeah. So. I think we're going to see Money in the Bank as we're going to be able to tell if it was a Vince move or a Triple H move.
Yeah, we'll see if he gets on a plane to London, huh?
Well, not even that. I just think the winner is. I think the winner is going. The winner of the men's one, at least, you'll know who. You'll know who's running the show.
Yeah, it's pretty apparent. If it's Triple H, we'll get to our picks after this. Yeah. But I think we know what you're talking about.
Well, if it was a Vince move, Omos would be in the picture. I like him. He's a big son of a bitch.
Look at the size of him.
So. It'll be interesting.
More stuff that happened on SmackDown. The Usos came out, cut a decent promo, you know, bringing back the old lockdown and the Uso penitentiary thing for Roman and Solo. But one thing that I kind of picked up on in the promo was that they did mention that they still love Roman. He's still the tribal chief. I think this is how they, and they were talking about how Heyman's the snake. So I feel like this is how they get Roman to turn face.
You think turning everyone against the Jews?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's Vince.
This gave me so many flashbacks to Straight Outta Compton, where everybody was saying that what's his name, that their manager, NWA's manager.
Oh,
was,
yeah, Jerry Heller.
Jerry Heller was just the worst man. He was a snake.
He was.
And he broke up the family. It's exactly what happened in Straight Outta Compton.
That's true.
I mean, you know, imagine, I mean, I know this isn't a record label podcast, but you imagine Jerry Heller telling a bunch of kids from Compton, this is the deal, guys. I'm going to make all the money. You're going to work like slaves, and you get some pussy out.
I think it's a weird position to take, because I don't think Paul Heyman did, like, I don't think he was that involved in the stories. I just don't feel like he was doing enough behind the scenes to warrant this to be the thing that snaps. Like, what was he doing?
I felt like they could cut one of those videos together where they show evidence of,
oh, that they filmed today, but yeah, it's stuff that they never showed on camera before.
There is some stuff, like, you could see him, like, stopping people at the door to see Roman, like, no, and like kind of lying, like, oh, no, you're good. It's just, you know, huh? And like he's poisoning people, or like, you know, when the Sammy thing, he like turned on Sammy.
Yeah.
So there's ways that they can piece this together and film some more behind the scenes footage to make Heyman seem like he's been poisoning.
That's
the
what
bloodline.
They're gonna have to do, because I give them credit for the long term storytelling, but I don't think they knew this is what the direction they were going in. Back when they were doing the Sammy stuff, or at least a little before that. So I don't think they have enough of that footage already shot to really make an argument. But it's the smart move. We thought it was over with WrestleMania. We thought this whole storyline was over, and it's still interesting.
Yeah, it's still interesting. They reeled me back in with the Usos and you know, the Civil War thing. I do think that this is their chance to turn Roman face. Like, make it so that he's been poisoned and, you know, the Usos finally get through to him and get him away from Heyman. I don't know.
See, I think that'll happen, but I mean, we're going to talk about, it goes back to what we're just talking about with Money in the Bank. I think, if I'm booking this, Roman's losing the title at Money in the Bank and taking a hiatus and coming back as a face.
But there's no title. Oh, you mean like a cash-in?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the pop that anybody will get after Roman's been through a match with the Usos, I have to assume that that's going to be the main event. After a match with the Usos where he's all beat up, for that Money in the Bank winner to cash it in, take the title, send Roman on a little bit of a vacation where he reflects on the fact that he lost everything. He lost Sammy, he lost the Usos, he lost the tag titles, and then he comes back as a face. I imagine that's how I would want to see it go, but I imagine they're going to probably drag it out for a few more months.
Yeah, I mean, they could make it so that Solo turns on him, too.
That's what I think is going to happen at some point. There's going to be an accidental kick to the face.
Yeah. Yeah, there's going to be a turn.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's exciting. I'm actually excited for Money in the Bank, and I'm excited it's early. Early on
noon,
a Saturday.
I'm so excited.
Oh, I'll have a full day of things to do afterwards. It's
watching
great.
It on my walk, I am pumped.
What time is it?
Noon.
It's at noon, yeah. Other things, Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler had a match with the NXT Women's Champions, Isla Dawn and Alba Fire, and basically squashed them and united the belts. So now Shayna and Ronda are going to be on all three shows, defending those women's tag titles, hopefully. We also, after the unification of the belts, we saw Raquel Rodriguez came out and confirmed that Liv is back and they want that title shot. So we're going to get that title shot at Money in the Bank, I believe. Or is that happening on SmackDown?
Money in the Bank.
It's happening at Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
So we'll get that, they never really lost the titles. They had to surrender them, right? When Liv got injured?
Which they're going to lose it Saturday.
Yeah, it's not going to go back to them. But yeah, I mean, cool that they unified the titles. It's cool that they're involving NXT more in the main roster and also involving main roster people in NXT. They're making it more watchable. I've said this before, but like tomorrow we got Baron Corbin going up against Carmelo Hayes, who, if you watched Raw tonight, had his debut on Raw against against Finn Balor. Great match, but I have a feeling he's getting called up and he's going to drop that belt to Baron Corbin on Tuesday. Oh,
okay. That's what I'm thinking. I'm pretty pumped for Baron.
Yeah, he needs it. He needs it more than Carmelo. Carmelo's got everything going for him right now. He's young and charismatic and athletic and you know, he can do well in the main roster. Baron needs this. It's kind of crazy.
That he does.
It's kind of crazy. Talking about Raw, Dominic Mysterio continues to be the hottest heel in the business. Can't even talk.
I was wrong. I was done with the whole Judgment Day, and I actually, individually, I like them. Damian Priest is a fuck. I don't like them as the Judgment Day. I still think it's a fucking dumb name. Damian Priest is a fucking star.
Yep.
I mean, that end of story. He's a star. Finn's a star. Dom... I'm still not sold on Dom, but the fact that he could get this much heat, I'm impressed. Rhea's a star.
Yeah, Rhea, and it's so cool to see the mix of like when they announced them, they announced Rhea and the crowd cheered, and then they announced Dom and the crowd starts booing. It's like this crazy dynamic. They love Rhea, but they fucking hate Dom, and it's working.
And you're right though; he doesn't even have to talk.
No, nope.
He draws heat.
They won't let him.
But it's great, you know. Management of his probably lack of mic skills. He's probably a little rough on the mic.
Sure.
You'll learn that over time, but like, you hate him and you just look at his face. Yeah. Like, you're like, fuck this guy.
And that's kind of
perfect.
I don't know if this was the plan, but it's kind of genius. If he's not good on the mic, make sure they hate him so he can't speak. And then you have someone like Rhea do the speaking for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's exactly what they're doing. He just says like, I'm going to, and boo, like he just, all right, fine. Doesn't say anything. What else we had? The Finn Balor promo before his match with Carmelo Hayes. Did you watch that?
No, I missed it.
Go look it up or I'll send you guys a little, I'm sure they'll clip it, but they did such a good job making Finn, like this story matters now because of that promo. I mean, it mattered before, but it did showcase like all the bullshit that Rollins did that you forget. Like, not only did he injure him, but the next day on Monday Night Raw, when Finn had to surrender the belt because he was injured, Rollins comes out right after, like as Finn is still on the ramp and he's just laughing the whole time at him. It's like laughing. You laughed in my face after you took everything from me. I was like, wow, this story is really, really good. And they made Finn look, you know, strong, so I'm excited.
I mean, we'll get to it.
We'll get to
it. I still think Finn's getting fucked.
Man.
Welcome to comedy, Finn.
Yeah, right. but yeah, that's all I had from... Oh, well, you know, there was a good match. I wanted to point out the match between Sami Zayn and Gunther was really good. There was also a really good match with Nakamura and Ricochet. Really good episode of Raw. It's exciting to see. I could tell that maybe... Not so many changes from Vince on this one. So
you knew they had to step it up with Forbidden Door. I mean, the general consensus is that Forbidden Door was a hit.
Yeah.
So now, what do you think? Could this be possible? I don't think it's ever been done before. If Dominic walked out, and I'm assuming Buddy Matthews has a T-shirt. Do you know the heat that would get if he walked out?
Oh, like, man.
Like an
AEW. You think WWE is going to start promoting AEW?
No, but but it's not really promoting. It's, you know.
Yeah.
That would be.
It'd be huge.
You think they care if they make AEW Cup? Dude, that would be.
The only reason they won't do it is because on the WWE side, they're kind of trying to push it like they're a thing. They're an item. Even though there have been comments made about Buddy Matthews that.
Oh, yeah. Dude, not only that, Dom did an interview recently. I don't know if you saw that one. I think, I don't know with who it was, but it was bigger. It was like Sports Center type. No, it wasn't Sports Center, but something like that. But Dom did an interview where he talked about it.
And what did he say?
He just mentioned, like, yeah, you know, she's my mommy, and, you know. Buddy thinks that's his mommy, but she's mine. It's like, what the fuck? Like, he brought it up. I'm like, maybe they're not.
But dude, that pop would be unreal if he walked. I didn't even know. I'm assuming Buddy Matthews has a shirt.
Also mentioned, he mentioned the fact, he's like, well, he dated my sister. He kissed my sister, which he did. Right. When Buddy Matthews was in WWE, there was a whole story where he was dating the Mysterio daughter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, remember
it was very uncomfortable because everybody was talking about how young she was.
She was very young.
Well, you know what my reply to that is, so.
But yeah, it was just interesting to see Dom bring it up and like actually mention it.
Okay, but speaking about pops, before we get into this,
yeah.
I've been gone for a few weeks. L.A. fucking Knight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's back.
He has the potential to have the number one pop in cash-in history, beating Dolph Ziggler if he is to win and cash in that title, especially against Roman Reigns. I think it would be a little iffy if he takes it off Rollins. But Jesus Christ, the pop that this man is getting wherever he is, the fact that they're screaming his name in Saudi Arabia at the press conference, he fucking earned, like, he's there.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, they were pumping booze in before. I feel like his last match, he won over Rey Mysterio clean. Like, no interference, nothing.
He should have. Rey Mysterio's in legendary territory, in Hall of Fame territory. He needs to start letting these guys up, even though Rey Mysterio's probably not much older than him.
Sure, yeah. But, you know, he went into that match as a heel against Mysterio, won clean, and they did not really pump in any booze. Like, the crowd, they let the LA Knight chants go. They let the yes. You know, it was. I think they're finally starting to be like, fine. What can we do? We're not going to be able to fight the live audience. You know?
Yeah, and I think they're realizing that let it happen naturally, and the merch sales go through the roof.
Well, yeah.
Because with Seth Rollins, I imagine when Seth Rollins was a pretty bad heel, and he's already a babyface again.
Oh yeah, yeah. He was like breaking into Edge's house.
Yeah.
Not that long ago.
In front of his family and then he just starts dancing and singing and the crowd starts singing and that's the end. He's a baby face. So I think LA Knight has that potential. Mm. And that promo, when was it? Last Monday. That fucking promo with Logan Paul, and he had a little bit of Stone Cold. He had a little bit of The Rock in there.
Oh, yeah.
Sideways. Right up your ass. Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. I wonder what the merch sales are looking for those glasses that say L.A. on them. I'm sure they're
selling.
The thing
about L.A. is they're probably big sellers in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
I would absolutely wear an L.A. Knight shirt that people wouldn't even know it's an L.A. Knight shirt because it just says L.A. on it.
Yeah, that's true.
While this pops into my head, that shirt Eddie Kingston wears, it says Lois Rules. What is that a reference to?
That is, I believe, Tony Schiavone's wife.
Okay, because I might get one of those shirts.
Oh, for the dog? Yeah, of that course. Makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Man. I want to get the other one that he wears, the Redeem These Nuts.
I'm not going to be getting... I live in West Hollywood. I'm not wearing that shirt. I get enough shit for my scissor me daddy. I had that shirt on the other night walking Lois, and this gay gentleman walks up to me. And he's like, you're giving me daddy vibes.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. I'm never wearing this shirt. Fuck that. I'll wear it in my house and take it off.
Give it to Jeremiah, man. He's got the Scissor Bros, and he got a special called Daddy. I feel like that's free merch for Jeremiah. John, could you toss me a pen, please, so we can take our picks here for Money in the Bank? I forgot to grab one.
Fast-moving episode.
Yeah, we're going quickly. We're going quickly. But, you know, the picks usually take some time. We talk about it. So we'll start with the men's Money in the Bank. We've got Damian Priest, Butch, Logan Paul, which, by the way, I mean, I guess it was meant to generate heat with Logan Paul that he just got inserted into this match. But it really makes everybody else kind of feel like idiots that they had to qualify to get into this match. And he can just walk up and be like, give me a match.
Welcome to the business, guys.
That's true. It's just kind of upsetting. Anyway, we got Priest, Butch, Logan Paul, LA Knight, Nakamura, Ricochet, and Santos Escobar. I'm pretty sure we're all going to be in agreeance here, but who knows? So who do you got, Earl?
Ricochet. No, I'm just kidding. L.A. Knight.
L.A. Knight. I'm assuming, John.
The Megastar.
I might have to get some of those glasses.
Hey, man, they're not bad.
Let me see what the competition's like, because I ordered 6 new shirts yesterday after Forbidden Door.
Oh, my God.
I was a maniac last night. Like,
way to go, Pro Wrestling Tees. You could sell shirts with holes in them, and you'll still keep them.
Well, they got you by the balls. It's like, if you like big tits, you see a girl with big tits walk by, you'll do anything she says because she's got big tits.
That's true.
Does WWE make their own shirts? I know this is
nothing
they do.
To do. Okay. Yeah, they do.
Well, we might have to see what the competition is like.
I want to say before I make my pick that I'm excited for this match. Everybody in this match is a fucking star, a stud. Like, it's going to be a fun match. We're going to see Ricochet do some stupid shit with Logan Paul. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up climbing to the briefcase and then, like, keep going and fight on top of the briefcase
that
or some stupid
cool.
shit.
That's never been done before.
Never been done. Like, just because the briefcase, it has, like, a bar.
Yeah, like a trapeze.
If they could stand on that while holding the thing, I don't know. Crazy, but
I'm
know
excited for Escobar to have his moment.
Sure.
He's been someone that was great in NXT. I loved his gimmick, and I love the three of them in NXT. They kind of lost that now that they're the LWO, but this is his chance to really just... He's also great on the mic, which I didn't notice because they never gave him a shot. But on, I think this past SmackDown, he was great.
Yeah. No, he's really good. I prefer his character in NXT.
Me too. Like
the suits with the lucha masks was a cool look.
I think it's inevitable that comes back when he turns on Rey, when he has his heel turn. But for now, I'm liking him getting the attention.
Yeah, for sure. Now, he would be my pick, and I, you know, perdón, Santos, but I don't see it happening, unfortunately. It's either LA Knight or Logan Paul.
What's your argument for why it would or wouldn't be
Santos?
Logan.
Oh, Logan. I think Logan Paul, it would generate heat. He's a huge star, as much as I don't want to admit that, so... It would be an attraction for WWE to have him with the suitcase. It's just not as exciting to have him with the suitcase. I think LA Knight is a more exciting thing.
Because he's there week to week where Logan, you know what they announce when he's in the building. So those are the only times he could really cash in.
Then, you know, if they do give it to Logan, it's just he's going to show up periodically with it. And it'll just extend, you know, the length of this the looming briefcase. You know?
I think we see Logan and Priest at SummerSlam.
That'd be cool.
That would be a sick match.
I'm gonna go with LA Knight because it's just what my heart wants. So I'm gonna go with LA Knight, but I would not be surprised if it's Logan Paul. All right, for the women's Money in the Bank, we've got Io Sky, Bayley, Trish Stratus, Zoe Stark, Becky Lynch, and Zelina Vega. The current front runner for betting odds or whatnot. I don't know how there's betting odds in pro wrestling, but
I know it's crazy.
But Io Sky is in the favorite to win this. I don't know, Earl.
I mean, I don't really care on this one, but.
This is Earl's bathroom break.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just... there's not... None of them grab my attention. I mean, I wish Trish Stratus would win, but she's not.
No.
She's there to put people over at this point. So I'll go with Io Sky.
Okay. John?
So right now, Io and Bayley are still... They're still on the same side of things, right? They're still technically...
Technically, there are damage control.
So I think
control.
This is where Bayley costs Io the briefcase and takes the win. I think it's Bayley's time.
Okay. I I'm going to go with EO. I'm going to go with EO. I'm going to go with EO stopping Bayley from getting it and taking it, but then that causes the friction and the inevitable dismantling of the damage control. Okay, Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler versus Liv and Raquel. I think we all are all in agreement here. Yes. I don't think.
Yeah, this is when I go get snacks.
Snacks. So Ronda.
I mean, I'm torn. I'm torn because.
Yeah, we love Liv and Raquel.
Yes. I'm a big fan. We joke when we say they're bathroom and snack breaks. I actually think this is going to be a great match, especially because Liv and Raquel work well together. I think. The issue is if they now unify the titles, I don't see Ronda showing up to NXT very often.
No.
So I do imagine that if you give it back to Liv and Raquel, they'll at least be defending champions on all three brands, where I don't see Ronda putting in that time. Unless that's going to happen. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to go with Liv and Raquel just because.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, the reports are that Ronda and Shayna are actually trying to build the women's tag division into something credible. And that would mean that they would need to go to all three shows if that is what they want to do. But, yeah, Liv and Raquel for John.
And let's just get some clarity here. If Liv and Raquel win by disqualification, they still win, correct? It's not who is leaving with the belts.
Yeah, it's, I guess, whoever wins the match, not the belts.
So, yeah, I'm going with Liv and Raquel.
Okay. I'm going to go with Ronda and Shayna. Only because I know that Shayna drank my beer and liked it. So I'm going to...
Oh, you get the plugs in, man.
Yeah.
Hey, Eddie, what is the name of that beer?
Black Blood of the Earth. It's available now in several locations in Southern California. I finally got a distribution deal, so your boy is making it work.
Guy's not fucking around anymore.
Not fucking around anymore, man. That's it. All right. Match number four. Cody Rhodes versus Dominic Mysterio. A lot of people think that this is a downgrade for Cody. They're like, oh, how, you know, they're ruining Cody. And
they are.
It's bad. Dude, they have him up. Like, did you hear? Well, probably you didn't watch Raw.
I did not.
Go watch Raw and check out the reaction to Cody tonight.
Was crazy, and I think this is helping Cody and the younger talent that he's, like, I think this is going to make Dom look great.
Yep.
But Cody's not losing this.
No. And they did it good because it was in Georgia, which is his hometown. So huge, huge pop for Cody. Huge boos for Dom when they were in the ring together. I love it that Dominic Mysterio keeps, like, hitting him once, sucker punching him, and then running away. It's wonderful. I think this is a great match for both of them. Obviously, Cody wins. There's no way Dom wins this. If he does win it, it's through like a weird interference thing with Rhea or something, but I don't see it happening.
I think Dom's going to win.
Really? Wow.
I wouldn't be surprised either, just because we're dealing with all of Judgment Day. I wouldn't be surprised, but I do think going into SummerSlam, they're going to give it to Cody.
Okay. I'll put you down for Cody.
But they're going to make Dom look real good.
Yeah, for sure.
Real good.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to get booed out of the fucking arena, but he's going to look real good doing it.
He should come out in a Dusty Rhodes t-shirt.
Oh, that would be so good.
Do what Ospreay did with the Canadian flag. I mean, there's so many simple tricks you could do. Like,
he could do the polka dot pants, but I think Seth already did that. Never mind. He can't do that.
Or he come out with the...
with a French flag?
Train conductor hat. Dusty Rhodes would wear. I mean, you got to be of a certain age to remember that look. But
that's true.
I just... You know how they hold grudges against guys from other companies. Look what they did to his dad. They fucking embarrassed him beyond belief in some of those polka dot things. So I think this is a nice nail in the coffin for Cody.
Nah, Cody's a WrestleMania champion next year.
I mean, I wanted him to win this year. I mean, me and
yeah, I think this year was the right call. I think he shouldn't have won. That would have been too obvious. I think next year he leaves with a title.
Well, maybe I'll be in the St. Jude section again, and I can give you a live update. Where's Earl? Where are the kids? He's with Cena.
All right. Intercontinental Championship match: Gunther versus Matt Riddle.
Gunther, and I hope he kills him. I fucking can't stand Matt Riddle.
This seems like it would be like one of those 1 minute squash shots.
I hope so. Like, and didn't they just injure Riddle on the match on Raw tonight?
Did they?
I think he was like, I saw a clip. He was running out limping. It looks like somebody fucked up his ankle or something.
Ooh.
But was it real or like?
Probably
no,
work.
I think it was a work, but oh, okay. I hope Gunther breaks it for real. I'm just enough of the Riddle. He sounds like a moron. He's not that impressive in the ring that he should be getting any pushes. I'm just done with Riddle.
Yeah, enough. I mean, like, he reminds me of Heath Slater. Like, you know, like that surfer, you know, dude. But to me, Heath Slater was funny. Like,
he's exactly. Heath Slater was funny.
He embraced...
Matt Riddle's cheesy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not trying to be cheesy.
Trying to be the bro and right. Like I smoke and I'm cool, bro, and look at me, bro. And like fuck you, bro. Like enough.
He's like it was the one man band, baby.
Yeah. Bring back the one man Drew will that. Never do that.
I don't know if I like it.
Here's
him
what
that
I'm
much.
Predicting for that match. Gunther beats him. Imperium beats him down, and then we hear Randy Orton's theme music, and we now have Imperium and Orton and Riddle for SummerSlam. But I think that, from what I read, Orton's ready to come back.
That was going to be what I was going to suggest. And I actually, as much as this pains me, because I don't want this to happen, but I see Riddle winning via Randy interference.
Nah.
No,
because that's not a babyface thing to do. You don't win. By
well, no, not interference, but like I'm sure Kaiser's going to be there, and yeah. Probably try to interfere, and then Randy comes in for the save and helps Riddle win.
That would be a big pop.
Randy needs more than a mid-match return. I think he comes in for a save after the match.
Maybe. Well, I'll put you down for Gunther.
Gunther.
I'm going to unfortunately go for Riddle, which. It pains me. I love Gunther, and I want him to be champion forever. But I just feel like they want to give it to Riddle. It's just they've been teasing this for weeks, so I feel they're going to pull the trigger on it. And I know Triple H loves both of those guys, but so I don't know.
I don't know if I've said this before, and this is specifically since WrestleMania. Gunther, the Imperium's introduction is I love it now.
Yeah.
After Mania, I just sort of it grew on me.
When you're in the building and you hear that, you know,
yeah.
The ring and it all.
Yeah, no, like, it was great. And so what I was going to say is there are so many good entrances now. This is the first time where I'm excited for full entrances.
Yeah. Oh, that's Triple H, by the way.
Of course.
Yeah.
Triple H
is doing. Yeah. Also, you know, to go back to AEW a little bit, I'm going to give them some props. There's been some interesting intros. The Guns have a really cool intro now. Did you see that?
I do like that intro.
I saw that. It's pretty good.
Yeah. They're spinning around them and they're shooting. They're fucking. Give them props. They're trying to do better intros. Ricky Starks has a better intro now, too, with better lighting. He does this little pose and the spotlight hits him. So. They're learning.
I will say Austin Gunn is my favorite seller currently. Like he really is overselling, but it's funny to me. Like he's doing it on purpose.
He's doing the Shawn Michaels. He's wearing the gear.
100%. Like, you know? Someone will punch him and he's like he got shot by a bazooka.
It's amazing. Wait, we didn't get Earl's pick.
Gunther.
All right. I might buy that Imperium shirt that Kaiser was wearing tonight. I like it. Although I might get called a Nazi or something. I don't know.
Probably good spots here.
Hello. All right. Next up, Seth Rollins, the World Heavyweight Champion versus Finn Balor. Like I said, tonight's promo package really put Finn in a good light. Seth came out and gave a promo to the crowd, too, which was pretty good. My heart, like I have to go with Finn. I have to go with Finn because it's just something that I want, and I'm just going to use the power of manifestation. Let's make it happen.
I would like to see Finn win.
Yep.
He needs something. Like Rollins, he can win or lose. It doesn't really affect his character much. Finn, he needs a little kickstart.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of on board with what you said, though, about, like, the Priest and Finn, you know, that's where they...
Rollins has only had the title for a month. There's no chance he walks out without it. So I do think the Priest and Finn fight that's happening, Priest is going to come out to try and help and cost him the title. The only other crazy, like, out-of-left-field idea would be Priest wins Money in the Bank and turns into a triple threat match and ends up taking the title, or losing the title like Rollins pins Priest and to win a triple threat match. But that's really, I don't think that's really going to happen. That's just an option. I do think Priest causes Finn the title one way or the other. Hmm. So I'm going with Rollins on this.
Okay.
They're not taking it. Rollins ate a plate of shit for 3 years trying to get a title. I mean, he lost to Cody with Cody's arm falling off, even though that was a work, in a cage.
You probably think the submarine that went down last week is a work.
Have you seen any of the bodies yet?
No. I think,
yeah.
Have you seen the numbers for Titanic go up?
Yeah, I think
My
I
Heart
think
Will Go On is the number one song in America right now.
Can I think you it's a work. It?
You know how many comics I'd like to put in the next submarine? I'll pay the fee.
Jesus. Man, you know, I hear what you're saying. It is pretty soon to have Rollins drop the belt, which is why I'm choosing Finn because of my heart. But I have a feeling Rollins will win. But he has been defending it pretty consistently.
But that also might be the beauty of this new title. The fact that Rollins could just have a bad night. You don't have to have a 2-month reign.
Yeah.
I just think after all Rollins has been through over the last 3 years, to let him keep it at least until SummerSlam would be nice.
Or they can just extend the feud. Like, if Finn wins it, now we have a feud between Rollins and Finn that can last till SummerSlam.
Yeah, but I don't want the belt bouncing back and forth like that. Although they're both good wrestlers, so if one ups the other a different night, nobody would be mad if it bounced back and forth. I think people hate it when it happens with Charlotte Flair because they know they're trying to hit the 16. But with this, it would just be two wrestlers one-upping each other every match. I just don't think they're taking it off Rollins, especially he's a Triple H guy. It's not happening.
Yeah. And I also think there's a possibility of just Finn snapping and getting disqualified.
That too.
Because he's so mad, this blood feud, you cost me everything. And now we got
Carmelo Hayes in the mix. There are so many things that are working against Finn just story-wise. I just don't think he's walking out with the title.
Yeah. And then finally, the big main event. The Bloodline Civil War. Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa versus Jimmy and Jey Uso. This is a tough one. I mean, I think Roman is not going to lose to his younger cousins on TV or in London, for that matter.
He will if Solo turns on him.
That's what I'm thinking.
Roman been losing all of his tag matches? Like, that's how they're getting around the Roman being defeated thing. He's getting defeated in tag matches. I wouldn't be surprised if the twins beat him, but...
I think the Solo heel turn.
I think it's a Solo
or baby turn. Yeah, because he's a heel.
Oh,
Solo's a heel.
Right.
So it'll be a face turn.
It would be a face turn for Reigns.
No, it'll be a face turn for Solo, because he'll join his... The Usos are faces right now.
I think Solo's going to turn on him.
No, I think what's going to happen is Solo's going to go to kick one of the Usos, miss,
kicks Reigns.
Hit Roman. Roman's going to fall out of the ring, and then...
Get all mad and punch...
Well, no, Roman's going to just be out of the ring, and the twins are going to give the double super kick and pin Solo.
Mm.
I mean, I'm going with the twins on this one.
Okay. I don't think Roman loses two pay-per-views in a row.
I mean, he's on a downward spiral. I think he absolutely loses two pay-per-views in a row.
Yeah, that is true. You need to build the desperate Roman angle. I don't know. Earl, what do you think?
I think Reigns is going to lose. I think Solo will cost in the match.
Usos.
Who had the super kick first, the Usos or the Young Bucks?
I'm going to guess the Young Bucks. I feel like the Young Bucks were at it before.
Shawn Michaels.
You're right, though. That's why Eddie is the brains of the podcast.
Shawn Michaels had the super kick. You know, between those two, though, I think the Young Bucks had been doing it for a long time in Japan.
Right.
And even the Usos gave them a little shout-out in one of their promos. They were saying, you know, we're going to have a super kick party. That's the Bucks. So, man, I don't know, dude.
I mean, it's one of those matches that can go either way. There's no way for us. Like, there are certain things story-wise that we can make easy guesses on. Like, we know nobody but LA Knight or Logan are winning that match.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those two. But for this, it can go either way, and the story can be perfectly fine.
Yeah. I don't think Roman wants to lose two pay-per-views in a row. But the feel-good... There has to be a feel-good moment.
He's not going to take the pin. I think that's not the whole thing.
Yeah, no.
And that's going to be his argument. Like, anytime I've lost a match, it hasn't been me.
Or maybe he throws a punch, misses, hits Solo.
Solo snaps and throws him that thumb in the throat.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, either I love way.
That thumb is the Tonga Spike, man. Dude did that in my day.
We had Umaga doing
that. Umaga.
Boy, what a disaster that guy was. Because I remember him when he was in the Jamal and Rosie. Rosie. Dude, he's 3 minute warning, dude. Come on.
Fine. I'm going Usos. I guess it makes sense.
I mean, don't let us sway you.
No. Yeah, it makes sense. It makes the whole turn makes sense with Solo. I think, or you know, just hitting Solo by mistake and some kind of shenanigans happens.
Solo gets pinned, and then maybe that sets up a feud between Solo and Roman Reigns. You know, like a singles short, you know, program.
Yeah. Or you know, what if this is the night they turn everybody against Heyman?
Yeah. That's what we need. We need a bunch of people beating up a Jew in England. That's going to be good for the new PR in Saudi Arabia.
No, it's just not a lot of minorities on this card.
Yeah.
Omos has been told, take the week off, brother.
So after this whole week, I feel like AEW has cemented itself in that they're not really going for like what you wanted, the stories, the entertainment. It is going to go down the route of New Japan, which is the king of sports. That's what, when you look at the logo, the lion mark, it says king of sports. I think that's what they want to do. It's sports. They want good matches, dream matches, all that stuff. And I think the stories are picking up in WWE. More people have more intriguing stories, like the Bloodline or like the Finn and Rollins thing. Or, you know, there's just more stories happening in WWE. I don't think that the war is actually happening anymore. Like, to me, I don't feel like they're competing anymore.
They're not. I think WWE is wanting you to, and it constantly reminds me of the USA Network's characters promo that they used to do, like where they really focused on characters. WWE is focusing on characters. They want you to invest in characters, because when you invest in characters,
you buy merch.
You buy their merch. You buy their toys. You buy the video games.
100%.
I think AEW is trying to invest in ticket sales. You want to see, and pay-per-view buys. That's why they haven't done a streaming network. They want you to pay the $60 to watch good wrestling, where WWE's like, no, we have a whole character. If you like this wrestler, we have 85 documentaries. We have them eating dinner together. We have them in a car driving together. So if you invest in characters, you watch the A&E biography. You watch the docuseries. WWE's doing... They're building a media empire around the characters. AEW wants you to... They're living paycheck to paycheck, wanting you to buy the pay-per-view to watch good wrestling. And that's fine. It doesn't interest me as a viewer. I mean, even with Super Bowl, if there's an interesting story in teams competing, Manning versus Manning, or like the undefeated Patriots versus the Cinderella Giants, when there's a story there, it just makes everything more interesting.
For sure.
But I will say, $60 last night, well worth it.
Well worth it. I was trying to find my way around it. I had a VPN up, putting me in Japan, because I read that if you have New Japan World, there it was showing there. So I thought, really? I was like, well, I have my New Japan World, but you have to be in Japan. So I got my VPN to set me to Japan, but they still were charging $40 on top of the New Japan subscription. So couldn't get away from it.
This is Eddie's last episode because he'll be in jail.
There goes every AEW guest we wanted.
No. Look, I was trying to support just through New Japan. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah. Also, stop calling it Forbidden Door. This is the second one. It's not Forbidden Door anymore.
Well, I mean, what do you call it?
The reopened door. The door's open again. In your house again.
And they're going to do a third one. They already confirmed that New Japan's happy. It was the biggest gate for AEW yet, apparently.
1.2 million.
Right? Yeah. So they're doing well, man. They're doing their thing. And it's athleticism and wrestling, which I enjoy. I can enjoy both things. I love going to local indie shows and seeing crazy athleticism. And I love good character work. So it's a good time to be a wrestling fan, I would say.
I mean, clearly, I didn't see Monday Night Raw tonight, but they were influenced by Forbidden Door.
It was a good Monday Night Raw.
And you know, like with Collision, I mean, AEW's stepping it up, you know, a little bit right now.
How do you feel as an AEW fan that this past week you had three consecutive nights of AEW content? You had Rampage, Collision, and then the pay-per-view.
I love it because you had United Empire on. I mean, I know Mark Davis is out, so basically Jeff Cobb has stepped in for him.
Yeah.
And a great match. And then Saturday, Collision was so good Saturday, I thought, leave a little for the pay-per-view, boys. No, it was really, really good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they needed the extra 2 hours, like, because now you have guys, you know, like a Sean Spears now can come back at some point, hopefully, and get a little bit of shine, whereas, you know, when it's just Rampage and Dynamite, it's 3 hours. Omega's matches are 20 minutes, so that chews up, you know, what I went to USC, so my math's off. What was 20 minutes out of 3 hours total, that, you know, 20% of your programming or whatever. So, you know, and Andrade's had a great match with the guy in your shirt, Brody King.
Brody, like, King, yeah.
So guy, even the guys like Brody King are now showcased a little bit more, and Buddy Matthews came in, and so I'm a fan. Like,
I think Wembley's going to be the bar. I think,
yes,
it's easy to buy out tickets and give them away for like a small arena show. You're going to see at Wembley, if they bought even 20% of the tickets themselves and they can't give it away, you're going to know that that stadium's empty. So
yeah,
I think that's going to be a good gauge for where AEW is right now on the global scale.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, you have to have, every match has to be a banger. You can maybe have one humor match with like Jay Lethal, you know, it's a palate cleanser, but you got to have Ospreay have a killer opponent, Omega a killer opponent, MJF a killer opponent, you know, probably Okada, I'm assuming, because it's an international card. Like, you have to have a full lineup of killer match after killer match after killer match. The Bucks and, you know, United Empire. I mean, they were on the, I guess, the pre-show last night.
Gates of Agony were on the pre-show. There was like 5 matches on the pre-show. It was kind of wild.
They were good, though. Like, yeah, usually I get a little burnout in the pre-show. I think all hands on deck for London. You can't have one stinker of a match.
And everything seems to be lining up for them, minus Bryan Danielson obviously injuring his arm.
Well, that's almost, to me, like, that's, it's like when an NHL player gets hurt 2 months before the playoffs. They hit the playoffs fresh.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mind him being injured because you could put him in, like Okada, like you said, there was no storyline there.
Yeah. Six to eight weeks gives him time to come back for Wembley.
Be frightened.
And he already said he wants Okada again because he wants to break his arm as a rematch.
That would be great if, like, they had 3 matches. And then the third match, they break each other's arm.
He also wants to fight Ishii, which was interesting to hear. That's fun. But I don't think that's a big enough match for Wembley. I think Wembley, Okada, Danielson too, for sure.
Yeah, and then, I mean, Omega. I mean, if you don't do Omega Ospreay, you know.
They got to do the Bucks CM Punk thing, or CMFTR versus the Elite.
I'd be down with Ospreay and MJF. Like, can you imagine the mic battles on that? And then, you know, Jay White, you know, I'd like to see him. They seem to be showcasing him a little bit more. So, London, I agree with both of you. I mean, it's make or break. You cannot have a bad, like, you just can't, you know. Maybe Mercedes Moné, you know.
She'll be back by then, I think, for sure. I think that it's a good time for this pay-per-view because, like I was trying to say, like, it feels like AEW is kind of back in full force. Kenny's back to full health. You know, the Bucks are there. Mox is there. You know, you got the New Japan connection. It feels like they've got everything lined up for this show. Hopefully nothing else happens. You know, the Adam Cole's match got cut out, but it was just the flu, apparently. He came in with a fever, yeah. So they had to send him home. So nobody got sick.
See, I would have kept that, like, because I really wanted to see Lawler get a little bit of a shine.
Oh, yeah.
You could have brought in maybe a guy from, well, he's the New Japan representative.
Well, he had a match, by the way.
Oh,
they just didn't televise it. They gave him a dark match in the beginning of the show that wasn't even on the kickoff. It was Lawler versus Serpentico.
Oh.
Because Lawler was already there, and Tony Khan's like, we're just going to give him a match, but they never televised it, so... but yeah, I would like to see Lawler on TV for AEW as well. He's great. He's great, man. I love his character with the little fucking Daisy Dukes and
Yeah.
Also, you know, the Fight Forever is coming out, I think, on Thursday.
Oh, those graphics look rough.
Let me tell you, they do look very rough still. But
looks
they,
like WCW versus NWO for N64, and it may make me buy a PS5 just to play it.
I'm telling you, they won me over when I saw they showed a deep dive into it, and the fact that there are mini games where like you can play as Kenny Omega, and like there's like baseball and like random shit that you can just do with the characters. I'm kind of like, all right, they're going the arcade route. So the graphics don't need to be super realistic or simulator like the WWE games. It might just be a lot of fun. I just don't think I can pay $70 for it. Like,
I will.
I'll wait for it to, like, I don't know, come to Game Pass or something. But
no, here's the real question. Do you think WWE is going to let, what's his name, do up, up, down, down with it? Xavier Woods.
Oof. That's a good question.
Do you think
he's good friends with Kenny.
I know. Do you think he's going to be doing it on up, up, down, down?
Probably not, dude.
I
mean, it would be cool.
I think WWE gets a revenue cut, but I think he can decide what games he does. But that's who knows?
True. Who knows? Who knows? It would be fun to see that. I would watch that episode just to see what he says or does with it. They've won me over with the content over the graphics. The graphics still look awful, but I don't know. It could be fun. It could be fun. The bloody matches look great. I don't know if you saw. Have you seen any more clips?
I've seen the one of MJF who.
Oh, the trailer that he put out.
It's not a lot of detail in the face.
No, it's pretty rough. Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's coming out Thursday. If you have the money, support AEW. I mean, they've been working on this game for forever. Really, literally, the Fight Forever has taken forever. I might just throw the money at them because they need it. Anyway, that's all I got. Next week, we'll be back with some more. We'll have the results of Money in the Bank, so we can talk that, and maybe we'll have a guest. We'll see. I'll try and get somebody in here with us for next week. But
I've got a potential big guest.
Do you now?
Let's just put it this way. It would be a big... I have two big guests, possibly.
Is Rob Black one of them?
No, I didn't even go to XPW Saturday.
I was going to ask you, did you go to that stuff? But no, I guess not.
You had a big show here Saturday night. I'm like, I'm just going to stay in. And there weren't really... the only match I really wanted to see was Dirty Ron against Necro Butcher. But, I'm
sure there was lots of blood.
Yeah. Masada, my buddy who I helped set on fire, was not on the card. So.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. I got invited by the Sheik to go to PCW Ultra, but I had my own event at the Knucklehead, which quite successful. Good. I was very happy with that. But yeah, please follow the show at Comedy Store Wrestling on Instagram, at Stores War on Twitter. Follow me at RRBG Podcast. Earl.
Earl Skakel everywhere. And, if you're local to LA or you're coming into town, just DM me on Instagram and I'll get you a nice seat package at the Comedy Store.
There you go. John.
Say it ain't Sosis on Instagram. That's pretty much it.
Awesome. All right, guys. We'll see you next week.